Hello and welcome to My Spirit Fitness Radio. This is a platform created to empower you to live a healthier, happier, and more inspired life. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm so excited. We get to explore ways to cultivate mind, body, spirit awareness so that we can convert setbacks into bountiful reward. Hi, I'm your host, Felicia Love. I am a self-help author, mind, body expert, certified fitness professional, and college educator. I guess you would say my students and clients would refer to me as a sculptor of mind and body. Hello and welcome to My Spirit Fitness Radio. Such a pleasure to have you back. I thought I would give you a few trade secrets that might help you become your own personal trainer. There are a couple of things that we'll talk about. We'll talk about establishing where to begin on your fitness and wellness path. We'll also talk about carving out a path to improving where you are in fitness and wellness and help you put your goals in motion. Okay? Well, you're just going to have to carve out some time and do a thorough consultation. Really think about why you want the goals that you want, and how you might achieve those goals. There are plenty of lifestyle assessments out there. You can Google it, fitness assessments as well, ACSM and ACE, the American Council on Exercise, are great ways to begin to understand what your fitness goals are and how you might achieve it through some of those fitness assessments and goal assessments that they have available on their websites. You'll also find some of that information on my website as well at myspiritfitness.com. So let's get to it. Let's determine what your next steps are toward living a healthy and happier lifestyle. I'm very excited that you're interested in becoming healthier and happy and more vibrant expression of the true beauty that you are, because if that were not true, you would not be listening to me right now. There are a couple of things that you should consider. As I mentioned in one of my other episodes, in order to begin, I would suggest the first thing that you do is buy yourself a heart rate monitor. Buy a heart rate monitor and hit the pavement. Either start walking, you know, in your subdivision, or start a walking club to walk around, you know, your community, or hit a gym somewhere and get on the treadmill. But I would not do any of that without a heart rate monitor. Most people start a fitness program and they just do whatever they're told to do without having a clear indication as to how hard their heart is working. There are two things that you want to pay attention to. You want to pay attention to how monitoring your heart, but also monitoring how you feel while you're exercising. So my philosophy is exercise to feel good. I come from old school, you know, no pain, no gain. If you're not sweating bullets and about to pass out, you know, you're not working hard enough and I'm pushing, you know, those days are gone. The true method to becoming healthier and happy over a long period of time, over a lifetime, is to get to know your body. And so that's why I decided to do these radio shows. Get to know your body. Your heart rate monitor will give you an opportunity to know exactly how hard your heart is working when you are exercising, no matter if you're walking, running, jogging, doing Zumba, doing CrossFit, doing body pump, body combat, whatever the case may be. Know how hard your heart is working, because the idea is to work within your target heart rate zone. Your maximum target heart rate zone is very easy to calculate, and I'll give you that formula right now. The standard is 220 minus your age will give you your maximum heart rate capacity. So whatever that figure is, you are not trying to work up to that figure. I'll say it again. You are not trying to work up to that figure. You're actually trying to maintain an average of maybe 60 to 80% of that maximum heart rate capacity. Okay? So if you're going wah, 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 what in the world is she talking about? I'll give you a quick grid here. Okay? Okay, so let's look at this from ages 20 to 24, 30 to 34, and let's say 50 to 54, and that'll kind of give you a range, okay? So 20 to 24, your target heart rate zone for aerobic activity would be 119 to 139, 30 to 34 years old, 113 to 132. And if you were 50 to 54, 101 to 118. So I'm giving you this formula so that you can start thinking about when you're exercising for your unique body. You're not exercising to overexert yourself or underexert yourself for that matter. There are a couple of things that you need to think about when it comes to aerobic activity. There is anaerobic activity, there's aerobic cardio training, and there's also cardio activity for weight control, and then there's cardio activity for, you know, just moderate activity, aerobic maintenance. And that's where we're talking about those percentages, okay? So moderate activity could mean mowing the lawn. It could mean taking groceries out of the car, that kind of thing. Your target heart rate zone at that point would be probably around 50% of your maximum heart rate capacity. Now, if you decided that you're going to walk around the block, say 3 blocks or so, then you would maintain 60% of your maximum heart rate capacity. If you really wanted to hit it hard and do some cardio endurance training, so for instance, take a group fitness class, which will give you even more intensity than perhaps walking, and that also depends on the speed of walking as well, but this is just very general layout. Then think about working at 70 to 80% of your maximum heart rate capacity, because then you're thinking about cardio endurance, okay? Anaerobic activity, that's hardcore training. That's your CrossFit classes. That's your body combat classes and many others, okay? You're not going to maintain that anaerobic level for a long period of time, but it's certainly inserted in your cardio program to get that heart rate to spike. And the reason for that is to kind of shock your body into burning more fat faster and becoming fitter, okay? And that zone looks like 80 to 90% of your maximum heart rate capacity. Got it? So hopefully that gives you a snapshot of what cardio activity looks like. So here's the deal. In order to become your own personal trainer, you've got to know those numbers. You have to know, well, you already know your age, so you're halfway there, but you have to know what your maximum heart rate capacity is, and I just gave you that, 220 minus your age. You know that that number is 100% of your maximum heart rate capacity, so you're not going to go into that zone when you're exercising, okay? You also now know that wearing a heart rate monitor throughout the day gives you a great, or Fitbit for that matter, gives you a great indication as to how hard your heart is working when you're doing different types of activity. One thing that I've learned as a fitness pro is that not everyone wants to do the same thing. And sometimes we come across as though whatever your answers are to our questions in terms of why you want to become fit and what kinds of fitness activities do you like, we're thinking in the back of our heads, how can I get this person fitter fastest? And that's not necessarily your goal. Sometimes people will sit in front of me and they will say that they want to be fit, but they don't necessarily want that hardcore training in order to get there. I am proposing to you that you don't have to do that. What you do have to do is get to know your body. And the quickest, fastest way to do that is to sit down and assess what your needs are, what your goals are, and what you have available to you in order to become healthier. I'm using the word fit, but I'm not using the word fit, but I'm using it loosely. And I tell you why I'm using it loosely. Did you have an opportunity to see the Miss USA pageant? Miss Indiana, for instance, received a lot of tweets regarding her curvy body. Now, she made the top 10, but I have to tell you that there were other contestants with curvy bodies. They just didn't make the top 10. I just want to know why. But anyway, I do know why. I've been in part of that industry for a bit, so I do understand why. However, there were others that had curvy bodies, okay? Miss New Mexico, awesome body, well proportioned. Miss Wisconsin, out of this world. Miss DC, Washington DC, great body. So if we're talking about curves, they are some of the other contestants that we could certainly consider. But Miss Indiana made the news. Okay. She stated in one of her interviews that she had an achievable body, not an unrealistic body. And I loved that response, because that's really what we all want. We want an achievable body. We don't want an unrealistic body. Unrealistic would mean making ourselves so super skinny that we don't look healthy. You know, what is your personal best is my question to you. My job is to help you carve out your authentic self and learn how to master yourself by becoming your own personal trainer. We all have set points in comfort. We know how we feel when our body's its heaviest in terms of weight, and we know how we feel when our body is the lightest that we can think of. And it's kind of funny when I'm talking about that, if you were to talk to an adult that's, you know, over 30, the first thing that they will relate to is their high school weight or their college weight. But since I've been teaching as well in the college arena, it's very interesting that students also relate to their high school weight, but some students have been obese the entire time, and some adults have been obese their entire time. So they really don't know what their personal best looks like. They only know what they see in the media and what people are telling them that they should look like. I am telling you that as your own personal trainer, I want you to sit down and determine what is your personal best. So shut out all of the images that you've seen in the media and everything that everyone has ever told you in your entire life about how big your thighs are and what is supposed to be right or wrong with your body. Drop all of that out of your mind and start to consider what your personal best is. I mentioned to you that I'm going to help you establish where to begin. The best place to begin is to find out what your body type is. Now, I did an episode about body types, so please revisit that and use some of the resources that I gave you to determine what your body type is. This is where to begin. You begin knowing your body type, and you begin with a heart rate monitor. Don't leave home without. No, I'm kidding. but don't go exercise without it. The next thing you want to consider is body fat distribution. Your body type lets you know what your body fat distribution is. That is where body fat lands on you when you gain and or lose weight. Body type determines the curves. Okay, so we don't get to dictate where we want the curves. What we can dictate, however, though, if we want more curves, we can start to look at weight training. Think about this. I could line up six women who are a size 4, and they'll look totally different in the same outfit, in the same size 4 outfit. I could line up six women a size 22, and they'll look totally different in that same outfit. Do you understand? So you need to know what your personal best is based on you, not based on other people and based on size. It's not going to get you anywhere, okay? Size in terms of clothing. What's very interesting is, as Michaela mentioned, that her personal best for the most part is a size 4, but that's not average. In the United States, the average, is according to CDC, is a size 12. So I'm kind of wondering, why aren't there more shows, pageants, that are geared toward people who, women who are more average in size? I will never be a size four, never have. In all of my training, I'd have no desire to be a size four. That's just it. And so you need to make that assessment for yourself. What is your personal best? Michaela looks great in her size four, but what's your personal best? I can't tell you. I have so many clients who would be just happy being a size 12 or getting to a size 12 from a 22 or getting to a size 8, you know, from a 12. So let's think about what's realistic for us. How do you feel in your own skin? That's the most important thing. So how do we carve out now a path to improve our fitness level? We need to find out what our options are. What do we have around us that's accessible so that we can begin an exercise program? Do you have access to a gym? Do you have access to walking in your neighborhood for a few miles? Do you have access to friends that are going to, you know, pair up with you and help keep you motivated, or you guys keep each other motivated? So that's the way to begin carving out a path to improve your fitness. What do you have around you consistently that will help you become fit? Applause to the legislators in different communities who have finally noticed that there are no sidewalks in a lot of subdivisions, so you can walk. It's amazing, especially in suburbia. So there are some counties who are looking to providing more trails, more bike trails. I don't think streets are the best way to do it, but I'm glad that, you know, they're considering that as well. But there certainly should be some bike trails as well, because not all drivers are courteous. but at least these counties are thinking about ways to make health and fitness more accessible to our community. So hats off to those who are doing that. Another thing that you need to consider is carving out time to exercise. Now, that is the first and foremost complaint that I have from everybody that I've ever known. I don't have enough time to exercise. You really do. You really do. I have seen people get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, do a 5 to 6 a.m. workout, have to be at work by 7 or to class by 8, and, you know, the exercise is done and they have the rest of the day to themselves. Nighttime exercise is doable. It's just not as much fun for a lot of people that I've talked to work, you know, an 8-10 hour day and then go exercise at night, 9-10 o'clock at night to get a workout. And I do know that that's difficult for a lot of people, but I might have a solution for you. I take my meetings on the road. So that is to say, anyone who wants to meet with me for longer than 10 minutes, I call a walking meeting. This implements opportunities for exercise throughout the day. How many meetings do you sit in? Think about it. How many of those meetings would require you to write or study or work on the computer? Of course, those meetings, you know, won't necessarily work for you. But the meetings to where you're sitting and you're listening, why not listen to that person on the road? So take your meetings on the road. It's going to give you opportunities to get exercise in your daily program. Okay. Same thing for students. You know, you can have meetings walking. the orator could be in the center of the walking group and project their voice. It works great. I've tried it. It works great. There are other ways, you know, taking the stairs and parking your car the long distance so that, you know, you can walk to and from the car. All of those things work as well. Another thing you need to do in order to carve out your plan is to start to journal. Journaling is another thing that people don't like to do. And I understand why, because it does take a little bit of your time in the course of the day, but the value that you get from journaling is unreal. Journaling will identify your habits for you. It'll put it right in your face so you know immediately what you need to adjust in terms of your behavior so that you can incorporate healthier habits. So this is true for your exercise. This is true for your nutrition. And this is also true for your daily routine. I've created something called McEasy. And McEasy reminds me of everything that I need to do in the course of my day to feel vibrant and fulfilled. M stands for meditation. That's another thing that I don't leave home without. So I personally meditate 30 minutes a day, but I would say to you, if you only had 5 minutes, 5 minutes is better than none at all. We'll talk about meditation in another program. The C stands for cardio. So you want to get some cardio activity into your day-to-day. The E stands for elimination, which is something that most people don't like to talk about, but it's very necessary. What you put in your mouth is as important as how you are digesting it and eliminating it. I have talked to so many clients who have not grasped that concept, and it wasn't until I started putting it on their fitness journal that they start to realize that they may not eliminate for 3 days. That's not good. Okay, so that's one reason why this is a critical part of my acronym. The A stands for affirmations. So that keeps me mindful of my ultimate goals on the day to day, and it keeps me on track. The S stands for strength training, and the Y stands for yoga. So the strength training can look like many different things. I'm not in the gym every single day, but I'm mindful of using strength training techniques in the course of my day. And I can talk to you about that in another program as well. But there are ways to get that element into your day-to-day activity. So is yoga. Now, many people practice yoga in many different ways. But for the acronym McEasy, the Y, yoga, really stands for flexibility in this particular instance. So how can you put these goals in motion? The first thing you're going to do is invest in a heart rate monitor. The next thing you're going to do is carve out time to exercise. Find it. It's there. Even if you have to start implementing meetings and even your lunch break, you know, using that as a period of exercise. You're going to get a journal and you're going to start journaling what you're putting in your mouth and how you're digesting it. Find out what your time busters are. That is, how much time are you wasting in the course of the day where you can actually put in some exercise 1 to 6 days per week. Notice I didn't say 7 days per week for anything, because I'm a believer that your body needs a day of rest. What does that mean? Stay in bed? No. A day of rest means that you are moving away from your fitness program, whatever that is for that one day. So it might look like instead of taking a fitness class, leisurely walking after dinner. Okay? I hope that helps. I would look forward to talking to you again. Have a wonderful rest of the day. And I hope we've carved out today your path to becoming your own personal trainer. Have a great day. I'm Felicia Love, your mind, body, spirit fitness expert. I hope that you'll include me in your New Year's resolution.
remain connected to your education, inspiration, and empowerment. Thanks so much for joining me. Namaste.